weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home. Cambridge
105. The Gadget Guide.
Good evening, Julian. Nice to be back.
Hello, Julian.
Good evening, Bob. Good evening, Lawrence.
And welcome along to Gadget Guide number 82. And this one, second one of 2016, we're going to be looking at the Consumer Electronics Show 2016, which, of course, is happening at the moment.
Finished.
Just about done. Yeah. So some of the new tech toys to look out for.
Yes, I mean, it's a Consumer Electronics Show happens annually in Vegas, and it is one of the biggest shows of this kind anywhere in the world. And it covers everything from high-tech stuff, so your high-tech TVs, laptops, computer stuff, through to white goods and home appliances, you know, believe it or not, smart washing machines and fridges and freezers.
I believe that. There's a show I haven't been to CES, but I have been to a similar show in Germany called IFA.
Yes.
Which used to be every 2 years. Now it's every year.
It's almost the European equivalent.
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Nowhere near as big.
Oh, no.
And also things like smartphones. Even the automotive market is getting very big at CES now. So the car manufacturers are all starting to realise the car is just gadgets with wheels.
Very important. Anyway, we'll come back to more on that in a moment. First of all, a little bit of the tech news for the week. A few stories doing the rounds.
Yeah, so as usual, there's security vulnerabilities in lots of things, and you're always hearing about have you patched things and so on. This one's a bit of an embarrassing one for the government, and GCHQ have announced a new bit of encryption for encrypting voice over IP information. So this is your digital telephone calls. So basically the stuff that runs your mobile phone connectivity, but also more and more stuff is going voice of IP. Even BT's backbone between exchanges is now effectively voice of IP. So GCHQ came up with a new security protocol, and some researchers at the University College of London have gone, here's how you can actually snoop on it.
Now, I think that this story, I have to say, in the media has got a little bit misrepresented, and we don't necessarily have all of the details yet, but it's interesting because, yes, you can snoop on it, and that is the design. That is built into the protocol, and it's a protocol called Mikisaki. And the idea is that it's encrypted between two parties. So if I phone you, the idea is that Julian can't hear us.
Right.
Okay. But if I was phoning you about 105 business, then you don't want Julian to be able to hear. You don't want someone who works for a fellow radio station to hear. But you might want, for example, Tim Willits, who's our station manager, to be able to listen in on that call.
Right.
And so it has this concept called key escrow. And what that means is that whilst it's encrypted between us, we effectively give a master key to someone who has the legal authority to be able to listen in on the call.
Right.
So in the case of a company, it's maybe the CEO or the
so it's basically you want the station manager to hear because he should hear, and you don't want me to know just because I'm nosy.
Exactly.
So I guess things like a trading company could have its key stored with its auditors.
Exactly,
so
that, or the regulator.
Or the stock exchange or whatever, so that, yes, if there's a question, it can be answered by the regulator.
Exactly, and this is very big in the news at the moment because, of course, there was a case a week or two ago of someone who was working at a company using company time to Facebook message their other half.
Yahoo message.
And the company effectively snooped on those,
yeah,
and used them to dismiss him. So it's very much a question of, you know, to what extent do businesses and authorities have the right...
Well, the courts have decided on that already.
Yes.
If you're using the company's network, resources, and equipment, the company has a right. And also it's on company time, which pretty much closed the deal as far as that's concerned.
Exactly that. But it's interesting that, you know, that you have this sort of right to privacy on one hand versus the right to do legal and ethically allowable snooping, effectively.
Yeah.
Most people would say, okay, it's not a bad thing that a financial auditor can go and listen in on trading phone calls.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing that the station manager could listen in on phone calls made on station business. So it's interesting. And GCHQ developed this protocol with exactly this in mind.
Yeah.
And I think that it's been blown up a little bit in the media. Of course, the question that isn't known necessarily so much is whether, you know, Tim's got one master key. does the government have another master key that they're not admitting? And that's really where the question comes in.
It's down to also who has the keys, who can pass the keys around, you know, are the keys allowed to be shared and so on. So, yes, interesting stuff. The other flaw is a Linux kernel flaw.
Yes, and of course, you don't normally hear too much about...
Hang on. What's a Linux kernel when it's home?
Okay, so Linux is the operating system that underpins things like macOS, Ubuntu, and all the other derivatives of Linux, as well as Android.
And that's the interesting one. So I was just going to say, you don't normally hear about this in the mainstream news. And the reason that we are today is because it also affects smartphones. So a lot of Android smartphones to this. And the kernel is basically the core of it. It's the bit that manages everything else, if you like. And the vulnerability in question is that a malicious application could, through some very, very clever means, it's not easy to exploit necessarily, and it only affects a certain set of Android versions, could basically get access to bits of the phone that it's not meant to. So in other words, run with higher permissions than it's designed to.
So my TV set comes up with Android at the beginning when I switch it on. Do I need to get worried?
Probably not, but it's one of those things that falls into the category of when the manufacturers push out the updates.
Do the updates, yes. I mean, the secret is also install applications only from trusted sources. So when you're getting that latest game, make sure it's coming from your Play Store or your, in Amazon's case, your Amazon App Store. Your TV will have an app store for the applications you can run on it. So don't go and sideload applications.
Don't start patching stuff in from somewhere else.
So if someone says, here's an APK, if it's an Android application, and emails it to you and you can sideload that, just beware. You know, unless you're running a secure kernel and you are running an antivirus or an anti-malware application, you are potentially at risk.
Okay, so from software vulnerabilities to a bit of a hardware vulnerability now, and this is the Microsoft Surface Pro, their sort of attempt at the sort of professional end of the iPad market. So this is the tablet for serious business. It's sort of halfway between a tablet and a laptop. They are recalling some of their power cords. Okay, the mains charger for it. It's interesting, it's actually the bit that goes from the main socket into the charger rather than the charger into the Surface.
Yep.
And they had a bit of a safety problem.
Yeah, apparently they got a bit twisted up and could actually create an electrical and fire hazard. So this affects Surface Pro 1, 2 and 3. And the
not a regular domestic kind of Surface device. Is it just like you know if you'd gone to get this one for business purposes?
Totally. Right.
I don't know. I mean, they are things that you can obtain in the high street electrical retailers. So,
right.
You know, the PC World, Currys, John Lewis, all will be selling Surface Pro. The place to go and check if yours is effective is surface.com/powercord. And that website will tell you whether yours is affected. Free of charge, they will send you a new power cord.
Very nice. And finally, then in the news, a bit of good news. Amazon
today only.
Yep.
So if you're listening on the podcast, you've missed it. Sorry. If you spend more than £50 today on Amazon, they will give you £10 back, provided you use the code Big Thanks.
And why are they doing that?
They have ended up being one of the most highly rated. Where's the document? Consumer. Companies in the country.
That's a reputation they do seem to have as well, isn't it?
As far as customer service, they've actually ended up pipping John Lewis down. And unfortunately,
it's
the source website went and blocked me, which is very friendly of it.
It's a fair point, though, because they take very different approaches to customer service, John Lewis and Amazon. John Lewis, make sure that there's people there and they very much build on the human interaction. Amazon have gone completely the other way. Amazon, get out of your way and make it as quick and as easy as possible to buy things and then to send them back again.
Yeah, if you've got a return, you log onto your website, onto the Amazon website, and you go into your orders and you go, I want to send this back, and it'll offer you a whole lot of ways to send it back. Normally, print you a free postage label, tell you how to drop it off at the post office. 2 days later, the money's back in your account.
Very good.
So they've scored well. So visit Amazon today, spend more than 50 quid and get 10 quid back.
Okay, we'll have more on the Consumer Electronics Show just after the travel. Very good. So Consumer Electronics Show.
Welcome back to the CES Las Vegas 2016, yes. So lots of new trends, and so starting with the obvious one, which is televisions. Conspicuous by its absence, 3D is pretty much a non-thing suddenly.
Is this 3D still built into TV sets? Because that's how they got most of their sales in the first place. In fact, it was there with other things.
Yeah, some of them still have a 3D model, but most of the manufacturers have a bunch of non-3D models and then maybe a 3D model, but not every single model is 3D anymore.
No, so, I have to say my parents have got a 3D TV. I don't think they've ever got the glasses out since they bought it.
So 4K is the big thing. You know, everyone is doing ultra high definition.
And this is really
almost a standard.
More so, it's like when we went from conventional TV to high definition TV. Basically, things got more detailed.
Yes.
And 4K is doing that. But again, so things will look sharper, they'll look crisper. You'll see more detail in the pictures than you did before. That's basically what
and
it's
about. And there's a few 4K shows around, for example, Amazon, I think, have some, as do Netflix on their streaming services.
Your main two sources will be Amazon and Netflix. Netflix charge a bit more for 4K than standard HD. Amazon don't. So Amazon, in your Prime Instant and instantly available to buy to view movies, 4K is standard, but you do need a device that can do 4K. So the Amazon Fire TV can do 4K, and you'd need one of those or a comparable device that can do Amazon Instant 4K.
It's worth saying, if you are going to do that, that not only do you have to have the TV that'll do it, the source that'll do it, you've also got to have the internet connection that can do it.
Yes.
And
you're presumably going to need more of an internet connection than you would for HD, aren't you?
Very much. So, generally speaking, the standard definition stream will run about sort of 1 or 2 megabits a second. A high definition stream, maybe up to 10 megabits a second at the highest on Amazon.
Between 6 and 12, depending on the thing that you're watching and how it was filmed. For 4K, you need sort of 20 meg suddenly.
Yeah, and that's an important cutoff because actually, if you look at people who are on ADSL, so this comes in via your phone line, but you're not on the ultra fast, super fast
fibre or cable
fibre broadband. Generally speaking, for most people, their internet connection will be somewhere between maybe about 10 and. At most, I would say 20 megabits a second. So 4K really is pushing it. You really do need to be on something like fiber.
So don't try it if you haven't got the broadband. I think you can do a free trial on Netflix as to testing 4K without having to commit to a monthly plan upgrade. So, yeah, it's worth having an explore. You will see the shows when you have a 4K service, you will see them labelled 4K Ultra HD at the top of the shows. So you'll know that you're getting that full thing.
Getting what you pay for.
Yes. The other new thing is high dynamic range is becoming a big thing that the TV manufacturers are looking at. This is making your blacks blacker, your image depth gets nicer, your colours pop off the screen a lot better. The other thing, of course, that happened is Blu-ray finally got announced and launched as 4K ready, and you can now buy Blu-ray players that can do 4K Ultra HD.
Are people going to be buying those when there's Netflix and Amazon around? But why? Why would they do that?
Because if you've only got ADSL, then your only way of getting 4K is going to be on Blu-ray.
Ah, good thinking.
And some people do want that movie to have on the shelf.
I suppose there is the danger, isn't there? Because this has happened a couple of times with TV series rather than movies, but the principle's the same. You're watching it and all of a sudden it's like expires on the 31st of January and you're thinking to yourself, I'm not going to have enough time to watch all those episodes.
There's not enough hours in 9 days to watch all of them.
And the flip side of that, of course, which is that a lot of new films initially will get released on disc still.
Yes.
So they'll go in the cinemas and then a few months later they'll come out on DVD and Blu-ray, and then it might take some unknown amount of time before they might pop up on one of the streaming services. If you're lucky, it's one of the ones you've got. If not, that's another five pound a month.
Take Star Wars Episode 7, for example. It should be shipping on Blu-ray in around April. I don't think it's going to be on any of the streaming services for a few months.
It might be on Sky, though, and services like that.
Maybe.
Which one pays more for.
Haven't got 4K on their roadmap that I've been able to find yet. So,
I think the old Q-Box, which is any all singing, all dancing one, which is out later this year, has it on there.
So the thing you'll be seeing on the shelves will be Blu-rays. It'll be labelled 4K, Ultra HD, Blu-ray and Digital HD. So Digital HD will be the new ultraviolet stuff for you to be able to watch your your ultra high definition stuff. And then the TV manufacturers are now branding things Ultra HD Premium for the top of the range tellies. So these are the ones that are going to have HDR standard. They'll be cinema approved by the studios that they are going to give you the best picture for your money.
Basically, how many superlatives can you get into one brand name? what else was there besides televisions?
So health trackers were a big thing. Lots and lots of people coming up with the latest way of
measuring. Is this stuff like Fitbit and that sort of
like
thing? And
Fitbit,
smartwatches, perhaps?
Smartwatches. Everyone who's got a smartwatch is trying to build health into it as an app or a service or an add-on. They're trying to sell you extra things like digital scales that, you know, you jump on that in the bathroom and it'll send your weight off to an app somewhere so you can't get away from it. But also things like health trackers for your pet. So a British company was actually at CES called Pit Pat Pet.
And top marks for the name.
And they've got a fitness tracker for your dog that's built into the collar.
Can I just mention one of my, I don't know if I should probably do this, but I will do it anyway. There's a dog walking service in Cambridge and it's called Bark and Stride.
Oh, very good. Very good.
So, yes, pitpatpet.com, all the details on that about the dog fitness tracker. Drones were a huge thing this year's CES. Last year, they had around 5 or 6 manufacturers selling drones. This year, 30 plus. Manufacturers were showing off.
And they're extending it as well. It's not just the sort of 6-inch wide things that you go and fly around yourself. There was a passenger carrying drone, wasn't there?
That was the EHang 184. Yes,
I'm not sure if a passenger carrying drone is still a drone or whether it's just an autopiloted aeroplane, to be honest.
Think about flying Uber, basically.
Yes, that's true.
You'd get in it. I mean, I see these probably fitting in the places like private resorts and areas where they can control the airspace.
That is,
because how it would work is you'd arrive at where you want to take off from, get in your EHang 184, tap, I'd like to go to the pool, which is, you know, 3 kilometres away on the other side of the resort. It will lift off, fly across and land in a designated spot. No interaction from you. So think about it as almost like an air taxi. Very cool, and going to be interesting to see what happens with those.
Not the only bit of transportation-related stuff either, is there? Because there's also, we've had hoverboards, which have been in the news for all the wrong reasons recently, but there was also some electric skateboards, I think, being demonstrated, which look quite cool.
So electric skateboards and also really slick Segway-type things, but the Rocket Skate Blink is now available. And
the what?
Yes, the Rocket Skates Blink. Their Blink board is the world's first electric skateboard, which can do 6 miles on a charge at 15 miles an hour.
It'll be interesting to see whether these things are actually allowed on the streets this time.
Well,
because of course, the...
assuming it's whether it can self-combust or not.
That's true.
What's the legality on skateboards at the moment? I don't think it'll be any different,
point.
To be honest.
Very good
because
point.
Because when the battery's flat, you've still got to use it as a skateboard.
Yeah, it does add a motor. Anyway, well, I think we've probably got some more CES to start
and I think next week we'll throw in some of the weird, odd stuff, like a brain bit instead of a Fitbit.
Sounds interesting. How much brain exercise do you get in a day? All that and more. Gadget Guide, a couple of weeks' time, 12th of February.